Morning. It's the last Sunday of the year, and we get to spend it praising God together in fellowship with one another. We have several, I know, that are under the weather and that are traveling, so if you'll be praying for them. Speaking of prayer, if somebody would need prayer this week, if you'll be brave enough to raise your hand. And we as a family will be praying for you this week. Pick out one person that's raising their hand and commit to praying for them this week. Well, they came to the right place. Let's just pray for them right now. Lord, we're thankful that a church is a place that we can come and fellowship with one another, God, but also just have our spirits lifted. Lord, we know that church isn't the place that you are, that you're in our hearts, God. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for you and for our church family. In your name we pray. Amen. So it's last Sunday of the year for the year. And so I'm going to preach on New Year's resolutions. Just kidding. I'm not that creative. We're going to be back in the book of Mark today. For those that are new or haven't been here before, I preach verse by verse, chapter by chapter through a book in the Bible. I hope you had a special time with your family this season. A great Christmas. A special time celebrating Emmanuel, God with us. I think that's a song we need to sing throughout the year, just constantly reminding us about a God that came to us. And if you missed our Christmas Eve service this year, you missed it. It's one of my favorite services we have all year. Kind of puts things in perspective. But this morning, we're going to jump back in the book of Mark. So far, I've been in Mark for 10 weeks. God willing, we'll get through the first chapter today. I hope you like Mark, because we're going to be here a while, like a year and a half kind of while. We're not in a hurry, because this is the gospel. There's nothing more important to us than going through the gospel. Nothing more important even in all of Scripture. So as we go through what we call the living word, verse by verse, we're going to hit the fun stuff. We're going to hit the difficult stuff, the hard stuff, the controversial things. Because that's what we do. This gospel was given to us as a whole. And we're going to take advantage of every bit of it. Not just the things that we like and find easy. So chapter 1 has been full of a lot of amazing stuff. And I'm not going to recap the whole chapter. But I will recap a little bit of it. That Jesus came in the book of Mark, not born as a baby. Hey, Mark doesn't talk anything about that. Mark talks about him being baptized. That's the first point you see Jesus in the story. And you see very quickly that Jesus came for a reason, to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, the good news that he has came to forgive and to redeem. So he's preaching the gospel. But we also see he's taking care of people's immediate needs. He's displaying that learning the scriptures draws you to the truth. And it encourages you to proclaim the word by action. So Jesus is not only preaching the good news, the gospel with his mouth, but he's doing it with greater authority and greater clarity than anybody had ever done that before. But he's also proclaiming the gospel by the things that he's doing. See that proclaiming the gospel is both constantly with our words and with our deeds. We see that all throughout Scripture. Jesus has already done that many times here in the first chapter of Mark. He preaches and then he casts out a demon. He preaches and then he heals. And he's going to do that throughout the rest of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to see that again this morning in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, open to Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 40. If you didn't bring your Bibles, they'll be up on the screen. But before we dig into God's Word this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we are thankful that you are a God that likes to have relationship with us. God, you're a God that cares so much about us that you did everything that you could, moved heaven and earth so that we can have a relationship with you. God, help us take advantage of that. Help us understand what that means to the best that we can. In your name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. Other translations we're going to talk about, moved with pity. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See to it that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you, that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." But instead, the man went out and began to freely talk, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people came to see him from everywhere. When we look at this section, we have to be struck by the first thing that sticks out to me is the man that had leprosy. We're dealing with a leper. Now, if you've ever been in church long enough, you've heard a sermon about leprosy, you probably have somewhat of a small understanding about leprosy, but if you haven't been in the church, you probably have very little to no understanding of what leprosy is, because we don't see it in this region very often or ever. So in order to understand the impact of this section, we have to understand this disease. Leprosy was a condition that affected the physical condition, the social condition, and the spiritual condition of a person. It touched every part of a person's life. It infected everything. Look at the physically, what did it affect? Your body started to break down and quite literally fall apart. It was a death sentence. Now, the first sign of this disease was you get numbness in your fingertips and then your toes. And then you'd start losing feeling, and slowly your entire body started to fill with sores. And they were infectious. And this disease would start inwardly and work out through the skin. And as a result of all the sores that would take over your entire body, it had this unpleasant odor. The disease became impossible to hide. You would lose your hair, you would lose your voice, your limbs, your breath. It affects your lungs. But one of the main problems is it affected the nerves to the point where you couldn't feel much. A person could not feel the severity of what they were going through, which made it very dangerous because they didn't know what they were supposed to be treating. Our bodies communicate to us and says, "Ouch, that hurts. Don't do that again." Or, "Ouch, that hurts. Take a break off of this for a while." But they could not feel those things. It was a horrific disease. All around, your muscles would break down. Your mind was affected, so your entire body was falling apart inch by inch. And sometimes people lived with this disease 40 to 50 years. So slowly it was killing them. And it led them into a place of isolation because they were infectious. They were outcasts. So the people that had this disease the longest, became more and more depressed. Most were ready for their life to end. Physically, it was a catastrophe. And if that wasn't enough, the leprosy socially made you an outcast. People believed many things about leprosy. One, they believed you either have leprosy because it was passed down from your mom and dad's generational sin, or you had it because of a sin in your own life. You looked awful. You smelled awful. You had open wounds covering your bodies. Nobody wanted to shake your hand. Nobody was allowed to hug you. There was no fist bumps, no high fives, none of that. Nobody could go near you. which means you had to live by yourself. Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, has far more detail on this than you ever wanted to know about. But I wanted to read one verse out of Leviticus that really impacted me this week as I was putting this sermon together. Leviticus chapter 13, you'll have to turn there. It's just going to be one verse, verse 45, actually two verses. Anyone with such a defiling disease, talking about leprosy, must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover their lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. See, if they were around people, they had to walk around saying unclean. If people couldn't tell by looking at you, if they couldn't tell by smelling you, you had to verbally cry out, unclean. Imagine your body's falling apart and you're forced to isolate yourself. Verse 46, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside of the camp or the city or the neighborhood that people lived in. They had to live outside on their own. And sometimes they lived in these colonies with other people that had leprosy. And even that was questionable. The social aspect was so horrific. The physical aspect was so horrific. But the largest impact was the spiritual impact, which we'll see today. You were seen as a sinner who could not be made clean. Priests would try to go through ceremonies to have sacrifices to cleanse you. There were a lot of laws on how lepers could be cleansed in the Bible, but few had belief in them or even had the courage to attempt them. You couldn't enter the temple. You couldn't be around people. You could not worship God because you were taught that He is clean, that He is pure and holy and does not coexist with the unclean. You were separated from God and you had no shot of eternity with God. You were isolated from your friends, from your family, and from God. Completely alone with no hope. Can you see the depression that this would lead to? I can't think of another disease that brings someone to such a brokenness, such of a humiliation, such little self-worth than this disease. And that's what we see in Mark chapter 1 as we read this scripture. I want us to read it in a certain way. Now normally when I read scriptures, we try to pick out one thing that really highlights the scripture. Sometimes it's by doing a word study. We pick out one word in the Greek that really impacts us. Sometimes it's by looking at the history context of this. Where is this in history and what does this mean to us today? But this passage, I think we have to put ourselves in the leper's shoes. We have to have a heart as we read this. And some of us have a heart where we can see a commercial on TV and we are led to cry because we're just emotional beings. And some of us haven't had an emotional response in probably several years. But this morning I want you to place yourself in the leper's shoes. And as we read this scripture, see how low it gets to be completely isolated. Family has kicked you out. You have no friends and no shot of a family of your own. Imagine you're walking down this dusty road, searching for food. And on your way back, you're walking, depressed, and you see this beautiful family in front of you, having a fun family moment together, and they don't notice you. And as you're walking, as you're approaching them, you have to shout out, unclean, unclean. And you see that happy family go from this happy moment to being sickened by the sight of you as they grab their kids to distance themselves from you. You see it in their eyes. They're disgusted by you. They think that you deserve this. And as soon as you get past them, you lower your head and you're upset. And you see another family and you think, here it goes again. Unclean. Unclean. And you get to wherever you live. Many of the lepers were homeless because they couldn't have jobs. They couldn't afford to live. And a lot of them lived under trees. No one would come near you or near your camp. Only lepers were around you. And you would think that lepers would really want to crave to hang out with each other, because who else are you going to hang out with? But with the amount of depression that lepers would go through, they didn't want to hang out with anybody. They dealt with depression the same way that many of us deal with depression. You want to isolate and be alone. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been left alone for a long time and you're anything like me, nothing good happens. If I were married and if I didn't have kids and were by myself alone all the time, I'd probably be in far worse shape than I am right now. We start to drive ourselves crazy when we're isolated. You know, one of the worst treatments that prisoners receive is solitary confinement. That's the worst that the prison can give you, is to sit you in a room by yourself where you're isolated from everybody. Many prisons are starting to draw back on how long they can send prisoners to do that, because they see the mental torment that it gives them. If you're a leopard, you're alone most days, all alone. You can't even pray because you don't feel worthy enough, unclean. You're angry at yourself. Many of them were angry at their parents because they felt like that this came from their parents. Most of their parents didn't come and visit them anymore. But most of all, who are you angry with? God. Why did you even create me? Why would you create me to go through this? As I read through this story, I see this man that's probably looking up on that same dusty road that he has to shout unclean through, and sees this man walking towards him. And as he's walking towards you with this crowd, you're mustering up the courage to yell, "Unclean, unclean," so people will stay away from you. But there's something different about this man. He has a large crowd around him, and they're shouting something different: "Hosanna in the highest." And you start to hear the word healer, the one who makes clean. And you've heard rumors, no doubt, about Jesus. And surely your ears are perking up. And you notice that Jesus, the response that people have to Jesus is the exact opposite response of what people have to you. People are crying out to Him. They're trying to get as close as they can just to touch His garment. Probably throwing babies His way. "Jesus, bless me, bless them." They wanted Him. They wanted to be near Him. And you're up against your tree for the first time in a long time. You sense hope. At this point, what do you have to lose? And this leper, I believe, gets up. And Jesus sees him. And you walk towards Him, violating everything that you're supposed to do. Because if Jesus touches you, if Jesus touches the leper, he too is now unclean. But the leper finally gets to him, and can you imagine the crowd talking? How dare this guy get close to Jesus? In verse 40, he says, "If you are willing, Jesus, if it is in your will, you can make me clean." Now, the question that he asked, the thing that he asked for Jesus, is very wise. He doesn't say, "Jesus, will you heal me?" He says, "If you're willing, can you make me clean?" There's a big difference here between healing and a cleansing. He knows that he wants to be healed. He knows that his body is breaking down. He knows that he will die from leprosy. He knows that he has this infection that smells awful. But his family has rejected him. He knows that he has no friends. And he says, "Make me clean. I want a relationship with God. I want the ability to go to the temple, to go to God." Being in his condition has, I believe, helped put things in perspective for him. And he says, "Jesus, make me clean. Not make my skin better, but make me clean." He wants a chance to have fellowship with God. He wants a chance to have fellowship with others. Being in isolation, he sees that he just desires to worship God and to be around other people. Verse 41, Jesus was indignant. Some of your translation says, "moved with pity." Does anybody have a different translation there? compassion, moved with compassion, filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I don't know why the NIV uses indignant. Most other translations says that he was filled with compassion. And it's very clear that Jesus was filled with compassion at this point because he reached his hand down and did the unthinkable. He touched the man. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. Which by the Old Testament law now makes Jesus what? Unclean. But the gospel says that we have a different God that became 100% human to come in our sickness, to come in our poverty, to come in our brokenness, to embrace the unclean. Paul Brand says, "More than any other person in the world, the person with leprosy needs to be treated by someone who will reach out his hand and touch him." Oh, he says, "I have seen men break down into tears at that time because they have found somebody that would simply touch them." Now, by law, we can see in Leviticus and in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, verse 2, you were considered unclean to touch a man with leprosy. So either Jesus didn't care, and he says, "I'm the Son of God, I'm gonna live by my own law," or Jesus cleansed the man before he touched him. And immediately, not only was the man cleansed, but he was healed. Can you imagine seeing that? Like I've tried to think of what miracles I would like to see the most. Jesus walking on water would be pretty cool. Whenever I was a youth pastor and teaching kids, they would always want to see the man with the demons inside that gets in the pigs, and the pigs throw themselves off the cliff for some reason. They just thought that was the coolest story ever. But to see somebody's skin, to have leprosy all over, just instantly be healed would be way up there on the list for me. And it's easy to say this is a cool story. To see that would have been pretty cool and to move on. But this is the first time that the uncleansed has been made clean. It's been 1,500 years, according to the Old Testament, that we have a record of a leper going from uncleansed to cleansed. Okay, now take yourself out of the leopard's shoes and back into your own. Some of you have had stuff that you've been dealing with for 2 years, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. And you think it's just not going to change at this point. Jesus cleanses. He heals. That's what he does. And you don't have to come to him and say, "Let me fix myself before I am clean enough to come to you." He says, "Come to me just as you are." Verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once and with a strong warning. "See to it that you don't tell this to anyone." Not very complicated, pretty straightforward. "But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to who? To them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus says, all right. I know this is exciting, but don't go tell everybody. I've got a job to do, and I need to be able to do that to move forward. But he says, go to the priest and follow the ceremonies that are found in Leviticus. Do this. Show them what I have done. I'm sure when he came in and the priest saw him, they were baffled. Probably had never seen this before. They knew that there was ceremonies to make this person cleanse, but they haven't seen it work before. And they hear the story about what happened with Jesus. They would offer sacrifices found in Leviticus. But from everything that I have read, that was very unsuccessful. But Jesus was able to cleanse this man. And he went to the priest, already cleansed. And they go and he has to make a sacrifice to follow the same rituals. Psalms chapter 51 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. I think a lot of us can relate to David. You got highs and lows in your life. And Psalms 51 is one of those chapters where David has really, really messed up. And he's going to God, pleading with him. Psalms 51:7 says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Cleanse me, this word is also translated as purge, means redeem me, make me clean like God is clean. This hyssop is a plant that was used for sprinkling water on a leopard to cleanse him. David is saying, it's not my behavior. It's not about me changing my ways. It's not just if I can muster up the courage to change. We've all tried that. I will stop lusting. I will stop having addictions. Without cleansing from the inside, we know that it doesn't work. Your infection, my infection, is on the inside. And David knew this and wanted to be made clean. David is saying, I am the leopard. And I believe that you and I are as well. David is begging, take my debt and place it on somebody else who can carry it. Make me clean, not just healed. And that's exactly what the cross has done for us. Our sins, your sins and my sins, kill us from within, destroying our relationship with God, destroying our relationship with our families and with our friends, leaving us truly isolated, feeling rejected and hopeless until the cross. God's response, if you will cleanse me. Jesus says to us what he says to the leper, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus took upon himself our spiritual leprosy and in return gives us his holiness. Do you know what the opposite of holiness is? Unclean. He takes our uncleanliness and gives us holiness. And he gives us our righteousness. One of my favorite verses, and it's a weird verse to have as a favorite verse, is Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of us have become like the one who is unclean, like the leper. And all of our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags. You know what those filthy rags, the Hebrew is there? It's the same word for the rags that lepers would cleanse themselves, that lepers would wrap themselves up to try to keep from spreading this infectious disease. All of our righteousness are like those rags. And Jesus walked down the road with the cross on his back. And now people weren't running towards him. People were saying, stay away from this cursed man. Yelling, crucify him. And he carried that tree and he began to execute the full atonement of our sins. All of our sins were nailed to that cross. And he took it upon himself to endure the three same conditions that a leper endures. First, he must physically endure the crucifixion. Two, he became absolutely a social outcast, including his closest friends. One of them betrayed him. Only one of them that we know of was at his crucifixion. He was abandoned. And three, spiritually. For the first time since before time had even started, he was separated from the perfect relationship that he had with his Father. And that's why on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time that relationship was broken off. He took on our spiritual leprosy. And he gave us his holiness. He gave us his righteousness, his grace, and his mercy. And he placed it on you. And he made you a new creation. That's the story of the cross, and that's the story of the leper that is our story. He alone can make us clean, can clean us. For those that have never made the decision to accept him as your Lord and Savior, for those that have never been cleansed, I would love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. Come find me anytime. And if you have, know that you're clean. Know that you're clean and that you're not alone. You are able to have a full relationship with Christ. If you find yourself reverting back into isolation, if you find yourself back in depression, you're cleansed. You're clean. Go out there and live like it. Have relationships. God fought so hard for you to be able to not be a leper anymore, but to go out and to have relationships with one another. He made us to be in fellowship with one another. That's how He made us to be. I mean, it's in the name of our church, Marshall Ford Fellowship. It's got to be important, right? So go. Know each other on a deeper level. Know God on a deeper level. Make that your New Year's resolution this year. Told you I'd make a New Year's resolution sermon. The thing I love about this church is we're family. And we can have a deep relationship with one another, and we do. To know that we can serve with one another. We talked about the Water for All calendar, knowing that we have missionaries from our church serving all over the world. By the way, be praying for them. Knowing that we can have a relationship with each other, that we're not outcasts, but we are cleansed from within. And we can continue to grow with one another and grow towards the one that unites us all, and that's God. Let's pray. God, You are so good, and we're only able to come and even pray to You because of what Christ has done. Lord, that He took our sin and everything that comes with our sin, and He put it on His back. And Lord, because of that, our debt has been paid. Thank You for cleansing us from within. And Lord, if there's somebody in here that has not made that decision, God, I pray that You give them the boldness and the strength to make that decision. And for us that have, Lord, help us take advantage of having a relationship with You moment by moment and having a relationship with each other, God. Thank You for making us, designing us to have relationships with You and with each other. Lord, this year I pray that You send us out, each and every one of us, as missionaries to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in our own special way to our families, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to those we run into every day, God. And it's only because of Your name that we can even pray.